Our brother Jamie will now deliver us our much needed exhortation. Brother Jamie.
Exodus chapter 30, verse 14 and 15. Everyone included among those who were numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering to the Lord. The rich shall not give more than the poor, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. When you give an offering to the Lord to make atonement for yourselves. And Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Good morning, brothers and sisters, and our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, both here and online, and young people. Two very different parts of Scripture, but very much connected with the same message. No matter what your status is, what your finances are, the atonement is the same. The sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ and following after him and the promises given are the same. Let's keep that in our minds as we move forward through this exhortation. If you turn with me now to Luke chapter 2. It's Luke chapter 2 and verse 45. I must say, I was asked to give this exhortation on somewhat short notice. Normally, I have a little more time to get my thoughts together. And when I agreed, I didn't look at the readings until after I got off the phone and realized that the reading focused on the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus and his resurrection. And although that is our main focal point of being here and the purpose of the bread and the wine, I was stumped to try to find more message in there than what was already laid out. So hopefully you'll bear with me and hopefully I'll make some sort of sense with my words. So Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 45. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him, that is Jesus' parents. And now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And so when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand that statement to which he spoke to them. And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus knew from that young age what his purpose was, and he did not shy away from it. And in today's readings in Mark 15 and 16, his purpose was fulfilled, and he was sacrificed and raised 3 days later, for the grave could not hold him. And one thing that was always present around Jesus was that people were astonished and amazed by him and his knowledge of Scripture. Again, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. If we go back a few pages into Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28 and 29. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, Where did this man get his wisdom and his mighty works? And one more in Matthew, just over a few more pages, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 33. And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teachings. They brought their sick to him. They asked him to come to their sick and their dead to heal them. We have references of this in Matthew chapter 4. I apologize for flipping back and forth, but these are very important words. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed and epileptics and paralytics. And he healed them, and great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. One more in Matthew chapter 8. I'm very familiar with this part of scripture. Matthew chapter 8, commencing at verse 5. And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled. And he said to those following, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed in that same hour. He did what he was asked. He healed and he preached to them, and he began to have a huge following. And as we know, he did many great and wonderful things, always following God's word. And those that had the power and the popularity or the status, most of which was self-proclaimed, they could not have that. And they began to plot against him. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3 and verse 6. Then the Pharisees went out immediately and plotted with the Herodians against him, that they might destroy him. And in John chapter 11, in verse 53, that's John chapter 11 and verse 53. And from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. They could not have him have more followers than they. They could not allow him to have the power that they so strive for. And what is the best way to stay in power and to destroy your opponent? To lie. 4 weeks ago, I gave the exhortation. It was based mainly on the world versus God and how scripture has not been outdated and has not changed. And it was the same back then as it is now. And no matter how much time passes, human nature remains the same. God's word and his promises remains the same. And when you look at the political power, which is oftentimes linked to religious power, and look back through all parts of history, right up to today, you have case after case of lies, sabotage, imprisonment, assassinations, coups, the taking over and the throwing of governments, and all of these things, in large part, are presented to the population. They're looking after the people. They're looking after the nation, the religion, or the race. We are doing this for you. What is being done to you is unfair. Follow us, and we will take care of you. And this rising up of the masses, the mob mentality, if you will, as the old saying, there is power in numbers. Now, the other night, I began watching a documentary, and it was of a woman who, when she was young, was the personal secretary of a very evil man in history. And she said that she was sheltered from the evils and did not know what was going on outside of her small world, her bubble in which she existed. And when she was asked about this man's power over the people, she stated that he had this uncanny power to alter or change people's consciences. And that he would say things like this, that although this seems very horrible and horrific, it must be done for the greater good. Put your own feelings aside that we might come together and take care of our people. And it was almost as if she was still in awe that this man had such a great power to change the heart and the mind of an entire country. But that was no special power. It's simply power, followed and connected with mob mentality. Now, I believe it was in 2011, the Stanley Cup riots happened in Vancouver. And I'm fairly sure, and yes, I'm making these numbers up, but I'm pretty sure that at least 80% of the people involved did not set out that afternoon to watch a hockey game and then to start vehicles on fire and break into stores and steal. I really do not think that that was the majority's intent, but they followed suit. They followed a few bad apples, like the saying, the blind leading the blind, Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 10. And when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. And then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard these sayings? And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. And again, over in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? And a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Their emotions and their feelings and their actions all being influenced by the outside force or influenced by a course of action or a feeling or emotion. But in order for that to happen, it already has to be inside you. the human nature, the self-preservation. We can be influenced from the outside, but we have to have that ability within ourselves to accept that and to move forward. Man's heart is only evil, is always evil continually. And as we know, Jesus was tempted in all points as we were. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are told that his temptations in the wilderness after his baptism in Matthew chapter 3 and 4. But this was not where his temptations began, nor where his temptations ended. The temptations in the desert definitely are real, and they happened. And they also played out again throughout his ministry and right up until his death and resurrection. Jesus showed the patience learned from God and did not speak up to save himself. He knew from an early age that he might be about his Father's business, and he knew that he could escape their hands, for he had done that before. But he also knew that speaking up and defending against a lie would only give credence to those lies. He also knew that their reward was their life. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Their reward is their life and whatever they can gain in this world. But Jesus knew that his reward was to be at the right hand of God, and all those that believed in him and are baptized shall be saved. There was no point in to defend against the evil of mankind. The true defense is to simply follow God's way perfectly and properly and truthfully right to the end. And Jesus knew that. It did not matter what the scribes or the Pharisees or the rulers thought of him or said about him. It was what his disciples and his followers thought and did and continued to spread the message of God to the world. The people then, as now, were not obsessed with the power of popularity. Are obsessed with the power of popularity. And there was they had the best seats in the house, and they had the best clothes, and the people willing to bow down to them and to give them great credence and respect. And today we have the internet and all its influences. And you have all these people who are considered influencers who get paid a lot of money because their follower numbers are up, whether it be on Twitter or Instagram or TikTok or YouTube, thousands, if not millions of people following them, ready to hear how they're going to react to a situation, and they will blindly accept it and follow it. Unfortunately, a few weeks ago, there was a case of a 14-year-old girl in high school, and I believe it was New Jersey, and she was attacked in her high school, walking down the hall, and it was filmed. And it was put on the TikTok. And this girl was so devastated, not by the action of being attacked by her schoolmates, but because it was on the internet. And she told her family that she didn't want to be that girl on the internet who got beat up. And unfortunately, she took her own life. And that is so sad that people today will put so much credence into an app or strangers they will never meet, that they would feel so devastated what strangers will think of them. And that is what the world is full of today. That is also what the world was like back then. The power and the influence that people will have, 9 times out of 10, will destroy and hurt. But what did Jesus tell his followers? This is found in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. His message to his masses and his followers was to do good, to spread the word of God calmly and patiently. And that is so hard to do. The older I get, the wiser I think I'm getting. But then I realize how false it is. I'm starting at my age to understand the term grumpy old man, because that's the way I find myself. I get grumpy. And I want to put people in their place, shake them and say what you're doing is wrong. But what is the benefit in that? Other than my own pride. And Jesus showed us that at his trial and his crucifixion. Let them, i.e. the world, do what it will. Be concerned about what you have been called for. Follow in his footsteps. Learn God's word and share it with happiness, the happiness that it brings us. In Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy to stay and there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. And if that household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart from that house, or that city, shake the feet off of your, shake the dust off of your feet. For assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. If they're not willing to hear, walk away. Jesus truly was able to separate himself in this world, and his death and resurrection show us that at such a tremendous level. They lied about him. They stirred up the crowd against him. Matthew chapter 14, in verse 55. That's Matthew chapter 14, verse 55. No, that's wrong, because there is no 55. My apologies on that. Matthew. No, I got that wrong. I apologize. And I can't think of it off the top of my head. But they lied about him. And when they were going up against him, when they first arrested him, they brought false witnesses against him, but their stories did not line up. And they continued to go after him. And then finally, when they brought him to Pilate, Matthew 15 and verse 11, Sorry, that's, I'm supposed to be in Mark. Yes, yes, thank you. Thank you. Mark chapter 14, verse 55 was the first reference. And the chief priests and the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witness, testimony against him, but their testimonies did not agree. And then again in Mark 15 and verse 11. Thank you, Jerome. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that it should rather release Barabbas to them. The mob mentality, the leaders stirred them up saying, this man is evil. We must have him put to death. And the people who had their loved ones healed and fixed and had mercy shown to them turned against him so easily. And they mocked him and they spat on him. And after it was all done, after he had done all the great and marvelous things and taught them so many things. And again, and let's see if I have this one right. I'm all paranoid now that I started writing the wrong things down. Matthew chapter 15. Yeah, 29. And Jesus departed from there and skirted the Sea of Galilee and went up into the mountain, and he sat down. And a great multitude came to him, having them the lame and the blind and the maimed and the mute and many others. And he did lay them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, so that the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speak and the maimed made whole and the lame walking and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. And these same people turned on him. But he endured it for his Father's greater will. And he must have felt relieved He must have felt and relived his temptations in the desert at this time. Matthew chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, all things that I will give to you will fall down if you fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Yes, he could have let himself down from the cross, but that was not his job. That was not his duty. In Mark 15, verse 23, and they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he would not take it. They tried to give him a concoction. Now, some will say that it was a torture, a bitter substance, and when you were already dehydrated, it will be painful and discomfort. But others say that it was actually more like a painkiller. But in either way, he refused it. John chapter 19. And verse 28. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. And now there was a vessel of sour wine sitting there. And they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. But he did not drink of it. Whether they were trying to torture him more or trying to give him release, Jesus did not want what man had. And this is my own personal thoughts. But yes, he was thirsty, he was dying. But I do believe that his thoughts once again went back to his trials in Matthew chapter 4. And verse 3. And when the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of Man, command that these stones be put to bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." He was not thirsty for what man could offer him. He was not thirsty for the world's offerings. He was thirsty for the word of God, that he might find the strength to continue to the last part of his purpose, to go through and allow himself to be sacrificed. His calmness, his demeanor, his dedication, and his love for his Father and for us are the footsteps that we must follow. Not being consumed with the blind leading the blind, and those that want to listen, as with the mob, because again, that seed is already in them. We must be concerned rather with doing what he commanded his disciples: go and preach the word to those that want to listen, to those that have a lending ear. To consume ourselves with the things of this world, to try to correct it all, is something that we cannot do. But what we can do is to always and continually remember that our Lord Jesus Christ allowed these things to happen to him for the greater purpose. And when we get ourselves all wound up and all grumpy and want to change the world and scream at the top of the rooftops, that is not the example that our Lord Jesus Christ gave to us. The example was to share love and compassion and to always put his Father's thoughts and feelings first.